This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Picture this. In the labs of the Beckman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, a golden retriever lab assistant dressed in full PPE, white lab coat, safety goggles, cute little doggy shoes. His name is Samson, and he is a service dog who helps his owner, Joey Ramp, a neuroscientist who suffered traumatic brain and bodily injuries following a horse riding accident in 2006. After the accident, Ramp was inspired to study the human brain, and after overcoming several roadblocks, now has Samson alongside her in the laboratory to help her with her work. Joey Ramp is a neuroscientist at the Beckman Institute at the U of I, and also a disability activist and the owner of Samson, the Golden Retriever Service Dog. Hello, Joey. Welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. Hello.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation as well. The number is 800-222-9455. If you have any questions for Joey Ramp about her work or about Samson the service dog and how he helps in the laboratory, or just about service dogs and their importance more generally, you can give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Joey, I want to begin. I hear Samson had a visit to the vet this morning. How is he doing?
Oh, he's doing great. Thank you. Yes, as a service dog, he has to stay up to date on all of his vaccinations, and he has to have basically health screening once a year. That's based on the service dog training organization that trained him, which is Paws Giving Independence out of Peoria. And they require that I provide them documentation, making sure he's healthy and happy doing his job.
So let's review how Samson came into your life. You decided to pursue neuroscience after a horse riding accident. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. In 2006, I was training polo horses, and one fell, the horse I was riding, and my head hit the gravel road first, and then the horse rolled over on top of me. And I sustained a traumatic brain injury, 23 broken bones, and eventually developed, you know, PTSD alongside of all of that. And I struggled with a lot of decline in cognitive and social skills. For someone who I used to run a big corporation, and now I couldn't even leave my house to go to the grocery store or move around or be around people. Environmental stimuli was just too much. So I needed to understand what was happening in my own brain to try and make sense of what I could do and how to start on a path to recovery, if that was even possible. So I decided at the age of 48 to go into neuroscience, and went to the University of Illinois and completed my degree in biocognitive neuroscience.
Wow. It sounds like a terrible accident, but an inspiring story. So today, Samson, let's talk about how does Samson come into your life then?
Well, when I first started thinking about going to college, again, like I said, I couldn't even leave my house. I was unable to even attend any events, anything social, or go even to the grocery store myself. I started researching and discovered that they had service dogs available for people like me who had different types of injuries, and including PTSD. My first service dog was named Theo, and he was actually the first service dog I entered any labs with, but he had to be retired early because of medical problems. And then I met Samson when he was 18 months old, and he was still in training with Paws Giving Independence. And they place service dogs free of charge to recipients, and I qualified, fortunately. So when I met him, he was 18 months old and had already been training since he was 8 weeks old, and he knew all of the basic skills. But then I worked with him directly for almost 9 months to make sure that his training completed so that it was individualized for me, a scientist who worked in laboratories. And that included having him wear goggles and boots and lab coats and specific things required, like laying on a mat for up to 4 hours and laying, you know, out of the way of traffic, and being able to do different tasks on a day-to-day basis and then a different task in the laboratory. So yeah, it was a long time that we trained together.
Yeah, and I want to talk about exactly what his role is in the laboratory, but can you talk about, I understand there were some obstacles, even just getting him allowed into the lab. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. When I first came to the University of Illinois, they had never had a service dog in any of the basic core course laboratories that undergraduates take, your basic general chemistry, organic chemistry, general biology courses. And all these courses are crucial for anyone who wants to go into any kind of STEM field, but they had never had a service dog. And it took me a year of working with the administrators, with the disability office, compliance officers, safety officers, faculty members, to work out a plan where they understood that he could wear the personal protective equipment and he could do all of the things necessary in a lab that would keep keep the laboratory a safe environment, but also be able to assist me. But every single semester, though, I had to go through the same thing again and again and again, and to the point where I ended up reaching some laboratories where he was absolutely barred from, and I never did get to take those classes, which launched me into kind of an activist advocate role.
Well, since you mentioned that, let's talk about that. So now you are an advocate for service dogs and science, and you started a global consulting firm where you advocate for greater access by service dogs and science labs?
Yes. When I first started, I never intended to become an advocate or an activist in this particular realm, but the need was there. And I had, like I said, I had run big organizations and I felt more comfortable approaching administrators and talking to them about some of the barriers and some of the problems. And, more so than someone who was maybe 18, 19 or 20 years old would feel comfortable doing. And in doing so, once I first started going public, I just got an influx in my emails and social media and everything of other people who were experiencing the same thing. Other students with service dogs who were being banned or barred. And so I developed a consulting company, which is Empowerability Consulting. And what I do is I work directly with universities or faculty members or students and act as kind of a liaison to help them develop inclusive guidelines for service dog handlers or figure out ways to have a positive outcome where the student has equal access and equal opportunities to the laboratories while also doing risk assessments and keeping the labs safe.
So when we think about lab assistants, most people probably picture someone, pipetting from from a beaker to a test tube or something like that. What exactly does Samson do to help you in the lab as your lab assistant?
Well, that's on an everyday basis, what he helps me with is balance and bracing. And also after the brain injury, I lost a lot of, I had a lot of nerve damage, lost some function in my left side, in my left arm and hand and leg, which I've recovered most of that, but I still sometimes have difficulty balancing and bracing when I'm walking, or if I turn around too fast, bending over to pick up something is something that could potentially cause me to pass out. So what Samson does is he will come to my side so I can put my hand on him and I can kneel down and pick up something and stand back up and that's where it's different, because on a day-to-day basis, when we're out at home or something, he would normally pick that up with his mouth and hand it to me. But in the laboratory, he can't do that because we don't want him picking up anything off the floor. So he has to be able to distinguish between being outside of the lab and being inside the lab. And he will come to my side. Like I said, I will brace on him and I can pick up something myself, which keeps me independent. He also does medical alert. So if my brain is starting to get a little, too much input, the environment is too stimulating in some way, whether there's too many people or too much activity or something has kind of triggered this reactive part of my brain, he can let me know ahead of time because he sees certain body tells. I rub my hands in a certain way and he can see that. And he'll sit up in the lab and he'll raise a paw, or he will lift, he has a little ribbon on his coat that he'll put kind of hold in his mouth. And that lets me know that I need to take kind of a stock of what's happening around me. And a lot of times it may be somebody just telling a joke and they were just being overly animated and I can go, oh, okay, everything's fine. Or if I need to take a break, then I can take a break and come back in. And because he does this, then I can stay environments longer than having a full-blown reaction to something that might, you know, put me out of commission for 3 to 10 days.
And this is what's so amazing about dogs. You're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, he is more attuned to what's going on with you and your health sometimes than you might be, sort of an early warning system.
Absolutely. Then that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, there are times where, as I gave the example of someone's just telling an animated joke and they're laughing and they're being loud. Sometimes my brain takes that in as someone being aggressive. I don't even notice it. I don't even notice it's happening, but the part of my brain that's taking stock of all the information on the outside, all of a sudden registers that, and it sends an alert through my entire nervous system that I'm not even aware of. So I start getting a little nervous. I start rubbing my hands in this way. My voice changes tone. I'll start tapping a finger or tapping my foot. And all of these things, Samson is very in tune to. He sees this and he recognizes that as a tell. He knows that he needs to let me know so that I can fix it. I can do something about it and make sure that I can stay in that environment and I can stay in my career. I can stay in class. I can stay in, having a dinner with friends when we get back there to someday having dinner with friends.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Joey Ramp, who's a neuroscientist at the Beckman Institute at the U of I, and about Samson, a golden retriever service dog who helps her in the laboratory in her work as a neuroscientist. Only a few minutes left in our conversation. It's important for people to understand. I think maybe a lot of times people might see Samson, see him as this adorable golden retriever, especially pretty unusual that he's wearing the full PPE, the goggles, the dog lab coat, the boots. They want to interact with him. Can you talk about how that goes and how people should interact with service dogs like Samson who are working?
Yes, and that's a very important question. When you see a service dog, you should always ignore the service dog. And even as a handler, I understand he's absolutely adorable and he's beautiful and he's cute and he's smiling. But by interacting with a person's service dog, you're taking that dog's attention away from their handler. And as I mentioned before, he watches for certain tells in my body and he might miss a cue. And if he misses a cue, that could cause me to have a medical emergency. Just like a guide dog who's leading someone who's blind, perhaps they would miss a car coming or something. So you should always ignore the dog when they're working so that the dog can remain focused on their job and focused on their handler. By interacting with the service dog team, talk directly to the handler and say hello to them. Handlers like to say hello and talk to people. But don't talk directly to the dog, talk directly to the handler. We prefer that you don't ask if you can pet the service dog because we get asked that 100 times a day. And again, he has a job to do. So he needs to really remain focused on his job and not focused on me and making sure I'm safe. And I do want to add that service dogs get a lot of free time and they get to play, they get to have fun. On their off time, but when he's working, he needs to stay focused on me.
Leave the lab work in the lab, Samson, at the end of the day. I think that's a great place to end our conversation. I want to thank Joey Ramp, who's a neuroscientist at the Beckman Institute for Advanced Science and Technology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, and Samson, the Golden Retriever service dog who helps Joey's work in the lab. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story with us.
Thank you much for having me.
And that is all the time we have for our show. Before we go, I do want to suggest joining our texting group. We hear great things from listeners. It informs our coverage. You can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, the word is TALK, 217-803-0730. You can also find us on our website, 21stshow.org. That information is there, as well as how to subscribe to our podcast. You can also find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, Spotify. Just search for The 21st. Our program is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. The 21st will be back again next week.